throughout the day, it'd be a great thing. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 45. Genesis chapter number 45. I appreciate the good singing. Amen. Amen. Appreciate what the Lord's done for us already and how He's allowed us to worship Him. And I'll remind you that's what we're here for, is to worship Him.
Amen.
We're not here to show off our clothes. We're not here to show off our new cars. We're not here to gossip and talk about sports. We're here to worship Him. Amen. And He said those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so that's what we're here for this morning. So I hope you'll tune in to the Word of God and hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church this morning. Genesis chapter number 45, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me.' And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?' And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'Come near to me, I pray you.' And they came near, and he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. But now," he said, "so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, and tarry not. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou, thy children, and thy children's children, and the flocks, and thy herds, and that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty." I want you to hold your finger there in Genesis 45, and I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter number 50. Just hold your finger, turn a couple of pages to the right in Genesis chapter number 50, in verse number 20. The Bible says, Joseph said in verse 19, "Joseph said unto them," talking to his brethren, "for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, this morning, God, I need you. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your sweet Holy Spirit. I thank you for Jesus, most of all, and for the saving grace of God that's brought us to salvation. God, we thank you for all you've done for us. We pray this morning for those that may be here today lost. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. God, I pray today, Lord, you might prick their hearts and arrest them by the Holy Spirit. Draw them, Lord, to your side. I pray, God, help them to look unto Jesus and be saved. I pray, God, have your will and way, Lord, here this morning in the lives of Christians, those that do know you, that have served you, but God, they've had hard times. They've gone through some things. Lord, I pray you may encourage your people today through your word and by your spirit. Do for us what only you can do. God, fill me and help me, God, to deliver the message that you put in my heart. Help us to receive what the word of God has for us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. When we look into the scriptures, we look here in Genesis 45 and in Genesis 50, and we see really we're getting close to the end of Joseph's life. We're seeing some things come to fruition. Many of you know about the story of Joseph. We'll go over some of that in a little while. But as we read the story, there's one thing that really jumps out to me that you cannot overlook, and you cannot help but see. I mean, I'm just like this. Stevie Wonder could see this. You know what I'm saying? Steve, and that is the providence of an almighty God. The providence of God at work in the life of his servant Joseph. You say, what is the providence of God, preacher? When we talk about the word providence, providence is the foreseeing care and guidance of God over all of the creatures of the earth. It is God omnisciently directing the universe and the affairs of humankind with wise benevolence. Mr. Webster said that providence was the care and superintendence which God exercises over his creatures. Mr. Webster went on to say this. He said, a belief in divine providence is a source of great consolation to good men. Can I say, when you read the scriptures, you cannot help but see, especially here in the life of one Joseph, the providence of God at work in his life. Can I say that in our life, in my life, in your life, we don't always see the end from the beginning. We don't always see the curve around the bend. We don't see but what we see right here in the now. We can't see the future. But I want to remind you this morning, there's a sovereign holy God in heaven above, and he knows the end from the beginning. He created all things. By him all things consist. Nothing happens that's an accident in his timing. Nothing catches him off guard. Let me ask you this. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? I'm talking about the providence of God Almighty. Our founding fathers of this great nation believed that it was the providence of God that led them and protected them and helped them to begin this great nation. I say you cannot get around the providence of an Almighty God. It's the belief of a God that has care and his superintendence for his creatures on this earth. I thank God that the deists are wrong. God did not create the earth and set it off to exist and take his hands and turn his back on it. But I'm thankful this morning, Brother Robbie, that God, in the beginning when he created the heaven and the earth, that it's still by him it all consists. And I'm glad that everything's working out according to his time clock. I'm glad that nothing's going to catch him off God this morning. I'm glad this morning that God is in control. Hey, listen, I'm not crazy, but I want you to know that God is in control.
Amen.
And you need to understand that. You need to understand that many people, Christians included, they hold on to and they harbor bad experiences that they go through in life. They seemingly cannot get past the past. They have hurts. They have disappointments. They have letdowns. They have battle scars that they have gained along the way, and they can't get past them. They are captives and have become bitter instead of better. But I want you to remind you this morning, I came by to tell you that God wants you to get past whatever it was in the past. He wants you to get past your hurts. He wants you to get past your bitterness. He wants you to get past your bad experiences. He wants you to get over your scars. And he wants you to become better, not bitter. We look in Joseph, and I see Joseph here as a great example of a man who went through many what we would say, quote unquote, unfair circumstances and unfair experiences in life. But God helped Joseph to have the proper perspective, and through that he had the right results that he became rewarded and not ruined. Now, I just want to remind you this morning that if you and I would have the right perspective in life, and if we would get what I want to preach on this morning, a 50-20 vision, hey, it would help us not to be ruined in life and not to waste our life pining away and moping and crying and boo-hooing and questioning and griping and murmuring and complaining, but to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And rejoice because you've got a sovereign God in heaven that's in control, and he loves you, and he cares for you, and he's got your best in mind. He's got his glory in mind. You got to understand the providence of an almighty God. We'll say Joseph is an example, but you and I would take heed and do well to take heed to what Genesis 50:20 said. Joseph said, but as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Hey, can I just say this? Joseph had the right perspective. If many times he would have looked like you and I, he would have looked from our perspective, and he would have said, well, my brother's done me wrong. My brother's did this, and we'll look into some of what they did here in just a second. But we would look at what they did, and we'd say, man, I've been mistreated. It just ain't right. And I tell you one thing, I didn't deserve that. No, you didn't deserve it. You deserve to be in hell if you got what you deserve. You understand, if we got what we deserve, all of us be in hell? But I want you to know that if you start looking from through God's Word and from God's perspective, you'll see that God's in control. And even though we go through circumstances, even though we go through temptations and trials and hard times in life, and even though we go through things we may not understand, what we would call bad circumstances, bad experiences, that God's in control. And I want you to know that all things work together for good to them who are the called, who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28 still in the book. And here as we look in the book of Genesis here at the life of Joseph, we see really an illustration of Romans 8:28 in work, in life practice. And I want you to see some things. You say, did Joseph have problems? I want to say this more. Joseph had problems. And he had a plenty. Well, if we could go back to Genesis 37, and I won't take the time to read all this, but Genesis 37, Joseph had some family problems. He's 17 years old. His brothers hated him. His brothers hated him without a cause, I might say. And so one day, Joseph's dad sends him down to his brethren that are out in the field keeping the flocks. And they start hating on him and conspiring. Some of them wanted to kill him. And his older brother, Reuben, suggested that they put him in a pit instead of killing him. And then somehow, Reuben gets turned around and he's not there. And while he's going, Judah suggests to them that when the Ishmaelites and the Midianites come by, that they sell him as a slave to them instead of killing him. And so they took him out of the pit. They sold him into the hands of the Midianites, the Ishmaelites, and he's betrayed by his own brother. I will say he's got family problems. I mean, you say, well, my family's done me wrong. Welcome to the club. Everybody's got family. You say, I come from a dysfunctional family. Everybody does. I mean, listen, what is normal, amen? That's what I want to know. Hey, listen, you can hold on to problems all your life, and you can let them eat at you. You can have that root of bitterness, and you can complain. Or you can make up your mind that you're going to say, listen, this is part of God's plan. Everybody's got problems. I'm going to make the best of it. Joseph had family problems. Let me say, not only did he have family problems, but in chapter 39, he had female problems. Really not of his own choosing, but in Genesis 39, he's sold into Egypt. Here he is. He becomes a servant in Potiphar's house. The Bible said in verse number 2 of chapter 39 that the Lord was with him and that he was prosperous in everything that he did. He found grace in chapter 39, verse 4. He found grace in Potiphar's sight. Potiphar set him over his house. And then in verse 7, the Bible talks about Potiphar's wife, how she cast her eyes upon him and she began to desire him. And she asked him, she called on him and said, lie with me. I like how the Bible said he refused her. The Bible said day by day in verse number 10. He refused. He ran from her. He told her no day by day. This wasn't a one-time thing. But Joseph, listen, he refused her, but then he was accused falsely by her. Can I say this? He ran and he lost his coat, but later on he ruled because he kept his character. He lost his, hey young people, it'll help you to understand, he lost his coat, but he kept his character by doing what was right. But in the time when he was doing what was right, he was going through temptations. Hey, let me say that would be a temptation to a 17-year-old fella. He had female problems. She falsely accused him, and now Joseph winds up in prison for a lie. And then while he's in prison, not only has he got a female problem, but now he's got fellow prisoner problems. In chapter number 40, you read about how he's put in prison and the king or the Pharaoh puts the butler and the baker in prison with him. And while they're there, they have a dream, both of them. And Joseph interprets their dreams for him. And he tells the butler that you're going to be released in 3 days and you're going to be restored back to your service. And he tells the baker, because the baker liked that, he said, interpret my dream. And he tells the baker, hey, your dream means that in 3 days, the king's going to hang you. And so, sure enough, comes to pass, just like Joseph had said. And the butler told Joseph, he said, when I get out, I'll remember you. But guess what happens? When he got out, guess what happened? They forgot him. The butler forgot him. Joseph who? No, he never came to mind. For 2 long years. You say, preacher man, somebody made me a promise and they let me down. Yeah, Joseph experienced that. He went through something like that. Let me say that. And then after 2 long years, Pharaoh has a dream. And when Pharaoh has a dream, the butler remembers and he says, hey, wait a minute, there's a fella in prison. He can interpret that dream. Call him. His name's Joseph. So he goes down to get Joseph, and not only does he have family problems, not only does he have female problems and fellow prisoner problems, but now we find out he has a famine problem. Because he comes out and he interprets the dream, and the dream is that the Pharaoh talks about the dream, and he talks about there were seven kine or cattle, and he said seven of them were well-favored, but he said there were seven more that were lean and ill-favored, and he said at the end, he said the seven ill-favored ate the seven that were well-fatted. And then he said there was another dream. He said there was 7 ears of corn or 7 ears on one stalk of corn, and he said they were plump, they were fat, they were ripe. And he said, but then he said there were 7 more that were lean and 7 more that were just not much to them. And he said, but the 7 little ones that wasn't much to them, he said, they ate the good ears. And so Joseph's called, and Joseph interprets the dream. And Joseph tells him, he said, listen, what this means, Pharaoh, is that you're going to have 7 good years of harvest. You're going to have 7 years in which you need to store up some crops. You're going to have 7 years that's going to be good. But he said, following those 7 years, you're going to have 7 years of famine. You're going to have 7 years where there's going to be no crops. There's going to be no harvest. And so Pharaoh likes what he hears, and he says, basically, a long story short, he puts Joseph in charge. And he says, Joseph, you're going to be the man that's in charge over what we're going to do here with our national farm here. He said, listen, you're going to be in control. He said, you're going to be the one that sets it up. But he's got famine problems to deal with. Can I say, in chapter 42, Jacob, this is a long story. I'm bringing it all down. I hope y'all remember it from Sunday school. Here it is. He comes and he interprets this. He is now about 30 years old. 13 years of his life have gone by. 13 years he's been sold into slavery. Part of that, 2 years of it, he's been in prison. 13 years he's been away from mom and dad. 13 years he's away from his brethren. 13 years to his own family, he is as good as dead. 13 of his years, in all practical purpose, you would look at and say, it's wasted my life. But now here he is, 30 years old. He's remembered and he's called out of prison. And God's going to begin to use him at about 30 years of age. And Jacob, he sends, Jacob, which is Joseph's dad, he sends his 10 brothers at the time of harvest, or the time of famine. He sends his brethren, and he sends them to get some food. He sends them to Egypt to try to get some produce, something that they can eat, live off of. And he keeps his youngest son, Benjamin, at home. And so Simon and his brothers are told by Joseph, listen, you go back, I'm going to give you something. But he said, you go back, and I want you to bring Benjamin, your son, your younger brother, with you. And then the long story short, y'all know the story. They go back, and then they find that their money is in their sacks with their food. They go back, they're scared, and then they finally talk. When the famine really begins to hit, they're running out again. They talk Jacob into allowing them to go back and to taking Benjamin. And then when they go back, Joseph has it planned to where he has them their sacks full again, but he puts a silver cup inside of Benjamin's sack with it. And so that when they go, he sends the men out looking for them, and it looks as if they've stole the silver cup. And so they come back, and y'all know the long story short, but in chapter number 45, here we are, and Joseph is going to, he has them coming back into his presence, and they're looking at him. They are scared. They've already talked about, they've already realized that what they're going through now is because of what they did to their younger brother, and they don't even realize that Joseph is their younger brother. They don't even realize that the man they're going to for help is the man that they betrayed years ago. And so here in chapter number 45, Joseph reveals that he is their brother, who they sold. He tells them in verse number 8 of chapter number 45, he said, listen, he said, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. But God. Now listen, I don't know about you, but many times in our life we would become bitter, we would become angry, we would want to, hey man, I'm going to tell you what, when I see that person that done me wrong, I tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going to clean their clock, I tell you one thing, I'm going to make them pay, I'm going to get at them. I tell you what, they done me wrong, I'm going to get them, they're going to pay for that. But that wasn't Joseph's attitude. In chapter 45, verse number 1, Joseph says to them, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now, many times we'd like to say that to somebody, say, look, I'm the one you've done wrong. Now you're going to pay. But wait a minute, the next verse, he said, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Joseph is realizing that it wasn't all about him, but it was all about God. Joseph is beginning to realize and he's seeing that it wasn't what his brothers did to him, but it was how God orchestrated the affairs of his life to get him ready to live the life he needed to live. And this morning I want us to take a few moments and I want us to look at this idea in Genesis chapter number 45. Here he is about 39 years old now. It's been 22 years. 22 years. 22 years since he was sold by his brothers. 22 years. Just stop. What would you do if after 22 years you faced the person or the people that had done you the most wrong in your life, and after 22 years, after having your life taken away from you, you faced them eyeball to eyeball? Well, here's what we're seeing. That's exactly what's going on in Genesis chapter number 45. 22 years. And Joseph, under the hand of God upon him, he says, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. He said, haste ye, and go up to my father, and say, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down, tarry not. He said, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there, watch this, I will nourish you thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Here's what Joseph said. He said, not only am I not going to hurt you, not only am I going to get revenge on you, but he said, I'm going to take care of you. He said, I want you to go get your daddy and tell daddy to come on down here. We're going to put you down in Goshen and let you camp out, and we're going to give you all you need to eat. We're going to put you to work. We're going to take care of you. He said, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to annihilate you, but I'm here to help you. I'm here to make you go through life much better. You say, preacher, how can he? I'll tell you how. The providence of God. He realizes the providence of God. And then in chapter 50, when we read in chapter 50, here he is 17 years later. Here he is around 56 years old. His dad's about to die. Jacob's about to die. 17 more years, and when Jacob's about to die, the brothers are thinking this. The brothers are thinking, Joseph's been nice to us because daddy was still around. But now that daddy's going off the scene, man, he's going to get us. That's what his brothers are thinking. And that's where we're at in Genesis 50. And when you come to 50, in verse number 17, they had sent a messenger unto Joseph, verse 16, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say to Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren, their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of their servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept, when they spake unto him, and his brethren also, and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. I'm saying, even after his dad was off the scene, he was proving to them, listen, I'm not doing this for daddy's sake. I'm doing this for God's sake. I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this. Listen, it's a picture of the grace of God. You say, well, why does God allow such things like what happened to Joseph? Why would God allow somebody to have their life taken away from them? Why would God allow Joseph to be betrayed? Why would God allow somebody like Joseph, who really, and also when you look at his life, he's probably one of the most clearest pictures and examples of the coming Lord Jesus. He's one of the greatest types of Jesus Christ that ever was in the Old Testament. You say, he had character. He had a good life. He lived right. Hey, listen, Why would God allow him? Listen, he wasn't reaping the consequences of sowing bad seed. Joseph was a man who lived right in God's eye. Joseph was a man, when you study his life, you'll be hard-pressed to find anything bad that he did. So why? Why would God allow him to be betrayed? Why would he allow him to be falsely accused, thrown in prison? Why would he allow him to go through such circumstances? Well, I've got a few things here I want to throw at you. I want you to think about them. I hope they'll help you. Because let me just say this. Joseph is not an isolated case. You and I may, and you may already have, gone through things in life. You may have already gone through some. I mean, his brothers had driven him away in chapter 22, but he calls them near to him. His brothers had left him without comfort and a home, but he encourages his brother and comforts them and gives them a home. His brothers were willing to let him die of starvation and thirst in a pit, but he gave them provisions and more than enough for their trip on their way back home to Canaan. His brothers sent him away on the back of a mangy camel, and he sends them home to get daddy in Egyptian's finest carts. His brothers had ripped the coat of many colors off his back, but he gave them expensive garments out of Egypt. His brothers sold him for silver, and Joseph put silver in their bag. Hey, listen, let me say, mom and daddy, young person, that right there is grace, and that is forgiveness exhibited in his life. Let me ask you this. Have you ever suffered loss? Have you ever gone through a situation that you did not deserve? Something that you just couldn't understand? Have you ever been hurt by somebody else? Have you ever been offended? Have you ever had times when people done you wrong? Have you ever gone through loss and just couldn't get a grip on it? I don't understand why. Let me ask you this. What do you do when this happens in your life? It could happen. If it hasn't happened, it will. Well, why does it happen, preacher? Let me say this. Number one, sometimes God allows these things to happen to get us where he needs us to be. To get us to the place he needs us to be. Genesis 45, in verse number 7, Joseph said, God sent me before you. Now listen, we all know the story. His brothers sold him out. They put him with the Midianites, and the Midianites took him. But what did he say? He said, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. Hey, listen. Had Joseph's brethren not done what they did, Joseph would not have wound up in Egypt to do what he did. Joseph needed to be in Egypt. God knew it 22 years earlier. And so God divinely orchestrated. I don't want to scare you, but God's in control. And God used the actions of his brothers to help that, to get Joseph to Egypt where God could use him. And can I say, many times in life, God may want you to do something. He may want you to be somewhere. He may need you in another part of the country. He may need you somewhere else in life. But in our comfort zones, we don't want to move. We're all at home. We're with mom and daddy, and we don't want to get away. And sometimes God may allow a situation to come into your life. He may allow something to happen. He may allow a loss. He may allow something that would move you to get you where you needed to be. You can get bitter about it. You can get angry about it. Or you can realize, hey, this may be God putting me somewhere where I need to be. And then let me say this. Sometimes he allows these things to grow us for what he needs us to do. Sometimes he allows us to go through circumstances to grow us, to help us to mature, so that we will be able to carry out the purpose for which he has us to carry out. In chapter 45, verse 8, he said, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And watch this. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Now let me say this. If Joseph had stayed at home, he'd have been a shepherd. That's what he would have been. No downplay on a shepherd. I mean, they have the right place. But God had a purpose for Joseph's life. God had a bigger work for Joseph. God had something for Joseph to do. Had he not been sold by his brethren and betrayed, had he not gone through what he'd gone through and wound up in Egypt, he would have never done what God had him to do. I'm telling you, God is in control. I'm telling you, there's a God of providence in heaven. And sometimes he allows us to go through things and circumstances in life. Can I just say, the betrayal in life, the casting away by his brethren, the false accusations and the putting the prison wrongfully and the forgetting him in prison by the butler and all of the things that he had gone through prepared him for what he was going to undertake as a leader and a ruler in Pharaoh's house. Can I say this? No leader is worth leading if he hadn't gone through some hard times. God used the hardships in Joseph's life not only to get him where he was at, but to prepare him to do what he had to do. Did it ever occur to you that maybe God is preparing you for what he's preparing for you? Let me say this thirdly. Maybe sometimes God uses these things and allows these things so that he can see others saved and blessed through our life. In chapter 45, verse 7, Joseph said, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. In chapter 50, verse 20, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, watch this, to save much people alive. Yeah, we can look at the loss of 20-some years now, toward the end of the life. It's even longer than that. We could look at a lot of those things and say, man, look at all that he lost. But wait a minute, look at all those that were saved. Had God not allowed Joseph to be sold and betrayed and taken to Egypt and become a ruler in Egypt, how many people would have starved to death, including his own family? But, hey, he said, you meant it for evil. His brothers. He said, you meant it for him. But he said it wasn't you, it was God. You need to understand, sometimes the people that are doing you wrong, the situations you go through, sometimes they don't even know what they're doing. But God in heaven is in control and he knows what's going on. And you'll find great comfort and you'll find great peace in knowing that God is going to use it, hey, to orchestrate the purposes and the plans that he has for your life. Sometimes he uses circumstances and allows us to go through things to see others saved and blessed. I don't know how many times I've gone to a funeral where a family's lost a loved one and understandably, man, they don't understand why was they taken so young? Why was this one going through such a sickness? Why did they go? But I don't know how many times I've witnessed a circumstance of such case and at the end of it, multitudes began to be saved. I'm talking about people that never would have darkened the church door, but through a person's illness, a sickness, a situation, they come to the funeral, they hear the gospel. Listen, God pricks their heart and draws them, and sooner or later, they're saved. Yeah, we can look at the loss, we can look at the hardship, we can look at the circumstance that we don't understand, but what we don't always see is how God's going to use it, hey, to save people. I could be a little personal this morning and talk about my own dad. When I was 4 years old, my dad was killed in an accident at 29 years old. He'd only been saved a few months. He got saved in, I believe it was August or September, and he was killed in April the following year. And a lot of people could say, well, man, aren't you mad? Aren't you upset at God? You don't understand. No, I don't understand all the ifs, hows, whys, and hey, what fors. I don't understand it all, but I do know this. I do know that through his death, hey, listen, multitudes in my family came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ to be saved. I do know there's at least two preachers in my family today that would have never been preachers had my dad's funeral never taken place. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying sometimes God allows us to go through things that we may not understand at the time because he can see farther than we can see over the hill. He can see around the bend. And he knows how to take, listen, he knows how to take it all and put it together and bring something good out of it. Sometimes he allows these things to get us to see his plan and his purpose and not ours. Let's just be honest, many of us live for us. We live and we have our agenda. We have our goal. We have our purpose in life. We have what we want to do. And many times we don't stop and ask the question, God, Lord, like Paul on the road to Damascus, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And sometimes God allows these circumstances in our life to stop us, put the brakes on us, so that we'll look up and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what do you want to do in this situation? Lord, I had my plans. I had it all laid out. But Lord, what is your plan? What is your purpose? I can imagine 22 years in Egypt. I can imagine Joseph had every right to say, God, what are you up to? But thank God he had faith and he trusted the providence of God. He understood that God had a purpose. We see that in his mention here in 50:20. But God meant it for good. He understood God had a purpose. God did it. He said it was not you, verse 8 of chapter 45. It was not you, but it was God. God brought about good. Let me say this fifthly. Sometimes, let me say yea all the time, God allows these things, brings these things into our life so that God will get all the glory in our lives. Can I say we have nothing to glory of other than Jesus Christ? Can I say that everything that we say and we do and we accomplish, none of it would be possible without God in our life? And many times we say, look at me. I've pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Who gave you your bootstraps? Who gave you the hands to pull your bootstraps? I must just say, sometimes God allows us to go through things so that he could get all the glory. Hey, at the end, Joseph doesn't say, hey, boys, look at me. I'm saving you. No, he said God did it. He said it wasn't you, it wasn't me, it was God. God is getting the glory. Can I say very quickly, you say, preacher, well, if this is the case, how should I respond? What should I do? If I believe these five things, if I believe that these things, and let me just help you and remind you this, that everything that happens in your life, God either directly causes or he indirectly allows. Everything, every situation, every circumstance of life, he either directly causes it or he indirectly allows it. So he said, preacher, what should my response be? Well, I'll give you this. Let me say this. Don't resist it. That's what many people do. They resist. They fight against God working in their life. They fight against the hard times in life. No need to resist it. Don't resent it. A lot of people live in bitterness and resent. They resent the hard times. You just don't understand what I've gone through. You don't know how bad it's been in my life. Yeah, we do. You let everybody know. Trust me, your attitude and your bitterness, it rubs out every time you get a chance. Now you just don't understand how bad it's been. Yeah, you made it real clear. No resent. Let me say this, don't regret. Joseph, I don't see one time Joseph regretted. Not one time did I hear Joseph say, man, if y'all had left me alone, I could have grew up down there at daddy's. And man, he could have taught me a lot of stuff. Not one time do we hear a voice of regret. Don't regret. Let me say this, don't seek revenge. That's what many people do. Listen, if you understand, it's not them, it's God. There's no need seeking revenge on them. Let me say this quickly. Learn to release the past. Forgiveness. In chapter 50, verse 17, his brethren were asking forgiveness. They're looking, they're saying, hey, daddy said, forgive us. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. For am I in the place of God? In other words, he said, I'm not going to seek revenge on you. God will take care of you. Forgiveness. Releasing it. Forgiveness literally means to release a debt that is owed. Somebody's done you wrong, release it. Let it go. Listen, release the grim past. Because why? Because the providence of God. God's in control. No need in seeking revenge on somebody else. Release it. Listen, don't live in the past. You'll miss out on the right now. You're missing out making the right now the greatest right now it can be by holding on to what happened in the past, and you cannot change what happened in the past. But you hold on to it, you eat up with bitterness, and you just don't understand how so-and-so said this and how so-and-so did that and said that. And what you realize is so-and-so's down the road 1,000 miles and they're not even thinking about it, and your present's ruined because of it. Let it go. Recognize God's providence. We spoke of it a great deal this morning. Recognize it. Recognize that there's a providence of God, that God is in control, that no matter what I'm going through, God knows about it. Do you understand that nothing can touch you that has not already passed through the hands of a divine, holy, sovereign, all-knowing, omniscient God?
Right.
Nothing touches you that he hadn't put the okay on. God knows about it. Can I just help you out? Before you get there, God already knew about it. Listen, when you get there, God's going to be there waiting on you. And when you come out on the other side, he's going to be standing there waiting you. Job said, when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold.
Right. Right.
He knoweth the way that I take. Recognize God's providence. And let me say this. You can rest and rely on God's promises. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. It's still in the Bible. Can I say this? I don't much like lard. Anybody like to just scoop up lard and eat it? I'm not much on eating lard. Listen, I'm not much on eating flour right out the can or the bag. I'm not much on, I'll be honest with you, I'm not much on drinking buttermilk straight. I'd just soon have Red Top. Amen. Vitamin D. Pasteurized, homogenized. Amen. Vitamin D with the red. I'm not much on drinking buttermilk. Maybe you are. I do like sugar by itself. I don't much like eating a handful of salt. I don't much like eating a handful of baking soda or baking powder, whatever it is. Most of those things by themselves, they're not real good. But I can take you I can take you to the kitchen and show you what Mama showed me one time. That if you take just the right amount of each one of those things, if you take just the right amount of lard and just the right amount of flour, just the right amount of buttermilk, just the right amount of sugar, just the right amount of salt, and you mix them up real good, and listen, you're going to come out with some of the finest biscuits that ever fluffed a pan, amen? Listen, you might not eat all those things by themselves and enjoy them, but when you mix them up and you work them up, yeah, they're going to come out for good, amen? Can I help you see something? You may not like all the circumstances you face in life. You may not like all the experiences that you undergo. You may not like all the way people do you wrong. You may not like all the losses that you suffer and loss. But I promise you, there's a God in heaven. Hey, and he's better than any chef that ever come around. He knows how to take the hurt. He knows how to take the pain. He knows how to take the loss. He knows how to take the bad experiences. He knows how to take the times you've been done wrong. He knows how to work it all together. He knows how to put it all in a big bag. And he knows how to mix it up. And he knows how to bring it out and smelling good, amen. There's a God in heaven that knows, amen, and he's in control.
Amen.
We may never know God's plan and God's purpose without ever going through the growing pains. Some of you may never have been here this morning had it not been some growing pains in your life. And you need to understand that it was not them, it was God. Genesis 50:20 vision. Can you see past them and see that God was orchestrating the affairs? He is orchestrating the affairs of your life, that he is in control. You say, preacher, how can I forgive people? How can I let go of the past? How can I understand this? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. And you don't understand. But I want to say this. Joseph is a great picture of another person called Jesus Christ. Both of them had a miraculous birth. Both of them, listen, had a coat that separated them from their brother. Both of them were announced that they would rule one day. Both of them were sent by their father to their brethren. Both of them were hated by their brethren without a cause. Both of them were plotted against by their brethren. Both of them were taken into Egypt. Both of them went under temptation. Both of them were sold for the price of a slave. Both of them were bound as a prisoner. Both of them remained silent in the face of accusations. Both of them were falsely accused. Both of them always had God with them in their circumstances. Both of them were placed in between two prisoners. Both of them were about 30 years old when they went into their public ministry. Both of them were highly exalted after their suffering. Joseph was left to die. Jesus came to die. Both of them took a Gentile bride. Both of them forgave those who rejected them because they knew that what they underwent and what they went through was the purpose of an almighty, sovereign God that had your good and His glory in mind. 50-20. Can you see it? I'm not talking 20-20. I'm talking 50-20. Genesis 50-20. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God meant it. Listen, not you, but God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for all you've done for us, God. I thank you for the life of Joseph, and Lord, most importantly, thank you for the life of Jesus. Lord, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who was born, who lived a sinless life, was born, lived, died, buried, resurrected for our sins so that we might be saved. God, may you help us this morning. God, maybe there's someone here this morning that's lost. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe today you'll help them to see that they need Jesus. Maybe today that you would work in the life of a Christian and encourage them. Maybe, I don't know, they can't seem to get past the past. They've been taken captive. Maybe they have bitterness because of some problem in the past, some hardship in the past. God, would you help us today by your word, through your spirit, have your will and way. Speak to hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're standing all across the audience.